Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
And among those filming the race today are those looking at the history of the Boston Marathon.
A big field of international stars away in a mob scene in the Boston Marathon. 26 miles of tough going ahead of them.
A new documentary titled Boston traces the history of the marathon from its first running in 1897 until the 2014 race and the enduring mantra, Boston Strong. This is the first documentary about the Boston Marathon, and it's set to be released next year. Director John Dunham and producer Megan Williams traveled across the world to interview runners from Bob Hall, the first wheelchair marathoner, to Catherine Switzer, the first woman to officially run and finish the marathon. We'll hear from the first woman to unofficially complete the race coming up later in our show. But first, John Dunham and Megan Williams are in studio to tell us more about the history of the Boston Marathon. Welcome.
Thank you.
So what drew you, John, let's start with you. What drew you to film the Boston Marathon?
Well, I'm a runner. I'm a marathon runner. I've run 25 marathons. And of course, in the world of marathons, Boston is, as we say, as the, we appropriately chose the film title, Boston. We say Boston in the running world, and everybody knows what that means. So it's the ultimate.
And you filmed other marathons.
Yes, I've made two other feature-length documentary films about the marathon. The first is called Spirit of the Marathon, which I filmed around the 2005 Chicago Marathon. And then I followed that up filming the 2012 Rome Marathon. So Boston now is the third.
Now, you started working on this project in 2012, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, the idea for making a film about Boston goes back quite a bit further than that, even when I was pursuing the first film. I was interested in filming Boston back then in the early 2000s. So it's an idea that we've kept coming back to over the years, and as Megan and I were finishing up Spirit of the Marathon 2, we decided to go ahead and make a third film and to make it about Boston. So that was in 2012 when we started talking really seriously about taking that next step and making the film here.
But then the bombings happened. So Megan, what was your initial reaction? Did you guys want to sort of cancel the project?
I think our first reaction was to step back because John always wanted to make the film more about the history of the Boston Marathon, as, you know, treating it as it is, as the iconic race that it is. And when the bombing happened, we wanted to step back. But the more we talked about it, the more we realized that documenting the 2014 race was going to be very important, and that race, in fact, would become part of the quintessential part of the Boston Marathon's history, and we would be able to capture it as it was unfolding. So we did meet with the BAA again, and understandably, they were still pretty shell-shocked after 2013, and their initial reaction was that they didn't want a film to be made of the 2014 race because they had so many issues to contend with. They had to deal with the runners who had been stopped and hadn't been able to finish the 2013
right.
race. They had to deal with national security at a very high level for 2014. But ultimately, they got very, you know, numerous requests for a documentary. So I think they kind of said, okay, we'll do one. And fortunately, they chose our project primarily because of John's experience as a filmmaker and a marathoner.
Right. So let's listen to a clip from the trailer about the Boston Marathon. This is Rob DiCostella. He's the 1986 Boston Marathon champ. He's also the only Australian to win the race. Let's listen.
Boston is the marathoner's marathon. It's the marathon that anyone who runs a marathon and loves a marathon, it provides the canvas for all of those wonderful struggles and stories to unfold.
So let's talk about stories, some of the stories. You said, John, you're a runner. 25 marathons, is that right?
I've run 25 marathons, yes.
Wow. So were there certain things that when you were doing this film, you feel that your running experience really was what will give this an edge, if you will?
Well, certainly. It's something very personal to me. I'm passionate about the marathon. I've experienced it myself, obviously. So I fell in love with it 20 plus years ago, and I love history also, and so you know, being able to make a film about a race like Boston is kind of it's perfect for me, because you know, Boston is all about history and tradition.
Right. Was there anything that you learned that surprised even you, you know, especially about some of the idiosyncrasies of the marathon route here in Boston? You know, everyone talks about Heartbreak Hill and all of those things, the Wellesley Scream Tunnel, right? I mean, are there things that you found out that that maybe you didn't know before, or things that you think probably the average audience doesn't know?
There are so many things. There are so many little anecdotes that I love. You know, I love the early history of the race, talking about some of the early champions, some of the great names who have run this race, whether it be Clarence DeMar or Johnny Kelly, initially Johnny Kelly, then later known as the Elder, when some years later there was another Johnny Kelly or John J. Kelly who came along, no relation, but he also won the race and was called the Younger. Tarzan
Two John
Brown.
Kellys in yes. Boston. Go figure.
Ellis and Tarzan, as they called him, Brown. So many great champions associated with this race, and I love the idea of the lineage of champions that has occurred here. Clarence DeMar was the one and only seven-time champion of the event, and he was an inspiration to Johnny Kelly, the first Johnny Kelly, the Elder, who inspired Johnny Kelly, the Younger, who was the teacher of Amby Burfoot, who won the race in 1968, who was roommates with Bill Rogers, who we all know and love as the four-time champion here at Boston. And then, of course, you have Alberto Salazar and Greg Meyer. So just passing the torch from one generation to the next is a very unique story here at Boston.
And you actually start in this documentary right at the beginning in Greece.
That's right. We went to Athens, and the Boston Marathon was inspired by the first marathon, which was the ending of the modern Olympics in 1896 that were held in Athens. The BA went over and sent a team of runners, and they saw this event at the end, the marathon, and they went, wow, we should do that here in Boston. And of course, Boston is sometimes compared to called the Athens of, you know, the New World, so to speak.
Or the hub of the universe, you know, depending on which way you want to go.
And it seemed to have some hills that they thought kind of replicated the course from Marathon into Athens. And so that was the very beginning. We went to Greece, and we actually went to the tomb of the Athenians in a park where they clipped the olive branches to make the wreath. And we went where the women were weaving the making the wreaths, and then they dipped them into liquid gold. And those are the wreaths that get presented to the winners of the Boston Marathon. So that was a wonderful trip to see where it all began. And, you know, it has continued ever since and has become kind of a reflection of a lot of cultural change in our country. You know, the first women, which you're going to talk about later, first disabled challenged athletes to participate in marathons did it here in Boston. Even, unfortunately, what happened in 2013, now, as you heard your reporter say, that maybe this is the new norm since Paris and Brussels, that now we have this to contend with every year at a public event like the Boston Marathon. So our film follows a lot of the events over the past 120 years in our own country.
It must be very difficult because there are so many stories, you know, so many firsts and so many ways that the race has changed. It wasn't even started at 26.2 miles, even though everyone has a little sticker on their car now that says that that's what it is. It was 24.5, is that right?
Well, it was initially in the marathon's very early years, it was not an exact distance. It was about 25-ish miles somewhere in that neighborhood. And, of course, there's a story behind, you know, how it became a 26.2-mile race. Obviously that's part of the marathon lore, you know, and here in Boston, originally the race starting in Ashland, and when distance of 26.2 miles was codified, that's when the start was taken back to Hopkinton in order to lengthen the course.
So as a filmmaker, how do you choose which stories out of all those stories? Which ones are the ones that you say, that's got to make it? Is it just gut? What is it? What tells you that this is the one that has to be in the film?
Well, as a filmmaker, I'm always interested in a good story and what's going to be entertaining. That's kind of paramount. So I would say that's first. And then, we look for the things that are what we feel overall are most important, you know, for a film like this. It's not, there will be a lot. There will a lot of fun anecdotes and whatnot, but it's not encyclopedic. It will not be Ken Burns does the Boston Marathon 10-part series or anything like that.
No.
So it is a challenge, our goal is to make it fun and informative and entertaining.
I'm wondering, Megan, how would you say that you think the race has changed most from the early days?
Well, you know, in the very early days, it was men only on a dirt road with no mile markers, no water stops, or, you know, no water being handed out, no finishers medals, a cup of beef stew, I guess, if you finish the race. So just to look at the race today, I mean, there's no comparison to what it was like in the early days. It's still a race. You know, there's still a competitive edge to it. But I would say the participation of women in the race, of course, is significant today. I think at today's race, 45% of the participants were women. And the charity aspect of it, the Boston Marathon and many other many marathons in our country have raised significant amount of dollars for different causes. And John can tell you a little bit about the first charity if you're interested in hearing that story, which is kind of an interesting one, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. In the early years of the race, it was primarily won by North Americans, people from the United States and Canada coming down. And so immediately following the Second World War, 1946, a runner from Greece, Stylianos Kyriakides, came, and it was his second time running Boston, actually, but he came and won in 1946, and it was a momentous occasion because, again, following the war, Greece was in really bad shape, and Stylianos used his notoriety that he gained as the Boston Marathon champion to call attention to what was going on back home in Greece, and he was an enormous help to his countrymen. So he's often referred to sometimes as the original charity runner, and of course that happened here at the Boston Marathon.
Why do you think that the Boston Marathon has always had this sort of mystique about it? I mean, there are marathons. You filmed other marathons, right? I mean, what is it about this one? Aside from the fact that it's very old, obviously it has great history, which is what you're filming, but what has made it this iconic race?
Well, it's interesting. As Megan said earlier, we've filmed all over the world. Filmed with marathon champions, Boston Marathon champions on, I think, virtually every continent. We've posed the question oftentimes, you know, we've talked about tradition a lot and the tradition of this event. And what is tradition? You know, what does that really mean? And, you know, what were the early Boston Marathon organizers thinking? Did they have this grand vision for an event that would last for more than a century now? Nobody knows, but, I don't think you can just kind of necessarily start out and just say, yeah, this is this is going to be a great event. It's not that easy.
Right.
So, you know, there is something special about this, something magical. You know, I like to think that whatever those original members of that Olympic team that were in Athens and saw that first marathon really obviously truly were inspired by what they saw. You know, that's why they brought it back here to Boston and started the Boston Marathon, and others must have had the same feeling witnessing it as well as running it. And so the Boston Marathon kind of kept that idea alive. I like to think of it as really having kept the original intentions of the Olympics alive, the Olympic ideals. And it was really the Boston Marathon that kept the marathon going for all this time, until when the time was right in the 1960s and 70s and 80s, when people were starting to take a greater interest in physical fitness and taking care of themselves, better health, that we had this moment. Oftentimes people talk about a running boom, and I think it's in large part because the Boston Marathon was happening for all these years. So it is a grand tradition.
Out next year, is that right?
Yes, wow. April 2017.
April 2017. All right, John Dunham, Megan Williams. They're the director and producer of Boston, a forthcoming documentary about the Boston Marathon. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.